All right, welcome to the continuing series on the Studies for the Faint-Hearted. My name is Mallory Patrick, and this is the 12th lesson in a series of undetermined length, and I am titling this session, The Father's Heart Toward the Prodigal Son. The Father's Heart Toward the Prodigal Son. So now I guess that you can guess where we're going to be studying today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at the story of the prodigal son in reference to our theme, which is tying these lessons together very loosely, as you can tell. Our theme being the tendencies in us as believers to not trust the Lord and move with Him all the way through the different stages necessary for Him to deal with us before we can really start seeing the Lord by revelation. And let me just say that there's a difference between hearing about the revelation of Christ and seeing Christ by revelation. That hearing comes as you are able to grasp it because someone has preached it to you, but seeing the Lord is something that happens between the believer and the Lord Himself without any mediatorship of any teachers or leaders. That's a very basic, oversimplified way of stating it, but that's basically what it is. Being able to hear, having your spiritual ears open to this understanding, comes when God uses His messengers, His tools, to bring the message of Christ to a believer. But seeing is something that happens to the believer himself, where the eyes of his understanding are opened, the eyes of his heart, and the veil is rent on his mind, and he is able to begin to see the Lord for himself. So we all want to get to that place. It's not just for leaders or, you know, people who have been in the Lord a long time. The Lord wants everyone to know Him by revelation. And so there are certain things that have to be accomplished in our hearts before we can really make that change from just hearing about the message of Christ from other people to begin to see the Lord for ourselves in the Word and be changed into that same image. And a lot of it has to do with the condition of our heart. And we started the series talking about needing to know the heart of the Lord towards us and begin to receive His Word into our hearts, and that would bring about the change. So that's what we're looking at. And we're looking at specifically with people who just don't feel like they've got what it takes to know the Lord. There might be some reason that we think that we can keep from knowing Him, something that would hinder the Lord from working. And we are concerned that we might be too cerebral, or we're concerned that we're not in the Word enough, or we're concerned that we're just too messed up to know the Lord. Well, what we're doing is we're dealing with these questions and these issues that pop up in all of us and seem to dominate some of us. And I had a lot of problems with that, just fears that I couldn't do it right, that I wouldn't be able to see the Lord and be established. And because I was afraid of it, that made me hold back in unbelief, and it became like a self-fulfilling curse. And I went through a lot of things over many years before the Lord could finally break some of these things down. And what really helped me was beginning to know the Father's heart, and that He's not just dealing with us in some impersonal fashion. He, out of love, not only for His Son, but love for us, and desiring to bring us into what He made us for, sent His Son to the cross to die to bring us into this. Okay, and now the Holy Spirit has been sent to bring us into the understanding of it. So we've had two persons of the Godhead come to earth for the sake of bringing us into this reality. Okay, so we have, like in Romans chapter 8, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? The Lord is working on our behalf constantly and to bring us into knowing Him. So the sessions that we have been going through slowly, there's not one major theme that we're looking at. We're looking at a whole bunch of different things, and really there's no connecting thread between all these sessions except for these are different things that the Lord showed me personally, okay? So that's not like one subject or one topic. And so now we're switching gears again, as we do every session, and we're going to look at the prodigal son and how this story can kind of relate to those of us who feel like we can't know the Lord, or we're afraid that we'll do something wrong and the Lord won't be able to reveal Himself in us. Okay, let's see. Where shall I start? I don't want to read the whole thing. Let's just start with verse 32, the very end of the chapter. And we'll just kind of pick and choose our different verses, because I know that many of us know the story rather well. Verse 32 says, it was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Okay. Many of us, when we read the story of the prodigal son, we think in terms of backsliding Christians, or perhaps even unbelievers who maybe were raised in the church but didn't really ever receive the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. And I don't think that's quite an accurate view of this passage, of this story. To the father in this parable, the issue of the prodigal son was one of life and death. Excuse me. And we need to look at it in those terms, okay? First of all, both sons were definitely sons of their father, okay? And the scriptures say that we are sons of God by Christ. So this is talking about believers. This is not talking about sinners, backsliding Christians who have secret hidden sins, though I'm not saying that those things shouldn't be dealt with by the Lord. I'm just saying the relationship here is what the issue is, not the doing of right and doing of wrong, okay? The issue to the father's heart is one of relationship between father and son. And he is saying that when there is no proper relationship between the father and his son by Christ, which means us believers, then that is a state of death, okay? And when there is a proper understanding of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, that is a state of life, okay? And then, again, to not understand our relationship with the Father is a state of being lost. The Father's not lost. The Son is lost, right? And coming back to the Father is the state of having been found, okay? So we need to change our minds on how the Lord deals with us, because this is a perfect picture of how our Heavenly Father deals with those of us who are sons of God by Christ, but perhaps haven't fully come into everything we need to know. Because the prodigal son didn't know who his father was, or he never would have left home, right? He didn't know what his relationship was supposed to be. Okay, let's see now. Let's get into my notes. And again, these are personal issues to me. These are things that I personally went through. So when I read these things, I'm comparing them to myself, okay? Now, when the Lord began sharing with me along these lines, I had been in this message of Christ for quite a while, but there were still some things that in me that just weren't really settled. And one of the reasons was I was holding back and wanted some things for my own, okay, instead of completely losing myself in the reality of who my father was. And I think that that really goes well hand in hand with the prodigal son. In verses 12 and 13, it says, "And the younger of them said to his father," father, so he knew that his father was his father, amen, just didn't know the relationship of father and son, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Okay. He wanted something for himself. Okay. It wasn't good enough for him to remain in the father's house and let the father be the source. Okay. What was the result of that action? What was the result of that decision in his life? He sunk to a new all-time low, didn't he? He ended up in a pig pen feeding pigs and eating the food that the pigs were eating. Now, to a Jew, that must have been a fate worse than death, because they didn't like, they had their standards, their religious standards of clean and unclean animals. And so they must have, he must have been feeling so defiled and so unworthy of who he was that he would have sunk to such a low estate that he would be living in a state of uncleanness, not just like a Jew may accidentally may come in contact with a pig someday. He actually was living in a state of uncleanness. And what humiliation, what he must have felt about himself. He must have felt himself a complete failure. He must have felt himself to be the worst person that Israel had ever bred. And what I began to realize myself is that when he got to that point, it says that he came to himself. Let's see what verse is that in. Oh, verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." And so I like that phrase, "and when he came to himself." What does that mean? That means that he realized who he was. Okay? And I know that that phrase is used in a real self-centered and almost arrogant and egotistical way by some people. And I'm not talking about finding out who we are and how important we are. He found out, he came to himself in that he found out who he was in relationship to the Father. Okay, he found out who he was because he came to himself because he realized that his source was supposed to have been the Father, not the things the Father could give him. Okay, so he's sitting in that pig pen and realizing the contrast of living in the Father's house and living where he's living and the result of living where he was living, which is a strange country, right? Because it says that he went into a strange country or a far country. And so he went far away from the Father, and the decision to go far away from the Father resulted in a unclean, defiling, and poverty-stricken situation. And what I noticed about this situation that applied to me personally was that His decisions led him to a place where he in no way bore the image of his Heavenly Father. And it struck me that, boy, I had known the Lord for years and years, and I had searched the Scriptures, and I was about ministry and valid things that the Lord was involved in and wanted me to be involved in too. And yet I did not bear the image of my Father. I looked more like the prodigal son sitting in a pig pen in my spiritual life. Okay, I was in poverty. I was poverty stricken. And what grieved me was not even the poverty. What grieved me and struck me to my heart was that I in no way bore the image of my Heavenly Father. You know, resemblances run in the family, don't they? If you've got children or if you, you know your parents, it's funny sometimes to find the things, the ways in which you're similar. I found out one time that my maternal grandfather liked a whole lots of butter on his bread. And people used to joke that he liked a little bread with his butter. I've always been the same way. And I get the same joke from people. But I didn't know that my grandfather was like that. But that's probably a funny little thing that just ran in the family. Just a funny little resemblance. My point is, that's a silly example, but my point is that we are supposed to inherently resemble our Heavenly Father. His nature was placed in the seed of Christ, which was placed in us at new birth. Okay? And if we let that seed increase in us, we will bear the nature of our Father in the same way that a newborn child takes on the personality traits of his parents and even members of the extended family, aunts, uncles, and grandparents and cousins, because it's all the same genetic makeup. The seed is in the family, isn't it? But here we have a son that in no way resembles his father. Okay, he's unclean, he's in a far country, he's poverty stricken, he's separate, he's on his own, and in no way looks like his Heavenly Father. And he realized, sitting in the pig pen, I am a son of my father, but I don't look like my father. I need to go back to where it is that I can relate to my father. Okay? This is a spiritual understanding. This is not talking about material goods and worldly prosperity. This is really not even talking about prosperity at all. Actually, the poverty that he found himself in was really a symptom of a lack of union. Okay? And the poverty was a spiritual poverty. Okay? So, I realized that in my life I would take things from the Lord, maybe spiritual giftings, even natural abilities the Lord had given me that I was supposed to use for His purposes, my whole being, maybe my time, everything the Lord has given me, and taking it and spend it on myself. And when I spent it on myself, then it was all used up and I had nothing left. Okay, but to be joined to the Father, He's the source, and so things are always in good supply. Everything that you need to be about His business in His house. But I had wasted my substance on riotous living, and personally felt like I had joined myself to a citizen of a foreign country to support myself. And who is the citizen? Well, the citizen can be anything to which you join yourself or you sell your soul to, if you will, to support yourself. It can be a person. It can be an idea. It can be an interest or an affection. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just something that's not from the Father's house. Okay. Now, in my personal experience, and again, I'm saying my personal experience, this is not a backsliding situation that I was in. I had been faithfully serving the Lord all this time, but came to a realization about my own heart. Okay, this was a heart condition I was realizing about myself. So there was a point when I came to myself, and I realized, metaphorically speaking, I'd been sitting in a pig pen. I did not look like my father, and I was not living in his house, and I was not a part of the family business like I thought I had been, because I was living separate in my heart. And, you know, just along that line, obviously the prodigal son had been living separate from the father even when he was in the father's house, because if he had been living in complete union with the father, he never would have asked for what belonged to him so that he could go somewhere. Right? We should be content with living in the father's house. We shouldn't have to have our own stuff to prove our status, to prove our value and our worth. Okay? So, when I came to myself, personally, I was so ashamed that I did not bear the image of my Heavenly Father. I was so ashamed. I was so grieved that here was one who had, myself, I had searched the Scriptures and wanted to know the Lord and was able to share with others, and yet I did not bear the image of my Father. And here I was, someone who was supposed to look like the Father. Not only look like the Father, but if you will, be the Father extended to other people so that other people could know my Heavenly Father, letting Christ live through me so that He could point people back to the Father. And I was so ashamed of my state and how I was on the inside that I was convinced that the Heavenly Father would not want me back in His house, that I was going to be relegated to a lower form of Christianity, that the eternal plan of God was lost to me forever because I had misused it, and I had mistreated it. I'd take the things of the eternal plan of God, apply them to myself, and spend it all in a far country, and now I was living in poverty. And so I had brought shame on my father, and I really was very bitterly grieved and felt very self-condemned over it. I had done my own thing apart from the Heavenly Father for so long that I thought that my chance to really move with Him in a new way was totally gone. I didn't think it was possible to that there would be a way for me to get back to Him into a relationship that I should actually have with Him. And this sense of grief was so strong that I have to say it became self-condemnation, and there was a lack of faith in it. Okay, and so here we have a combination of things. Then we have the Holy Spirit was really dealing with my heart, and He was trying to show me the contrast between who I was in Christ and who I thought myself to be, and therefore how I was behaving, because my behavior was really showing up what I believed, wasn't it? Okay, if I really believed I was one with the Father, I never would have left the Father's house. Okay, but I really believed that I was something and somebody apart from the Father, and it's good to be dealt with by the Holy Spirit in these core basic issues, isn't it? Because we need to be one with Christ, and we need to have dealt with whatever obstructions are in our hearts that keep us from moving as one with Him. Okay, but what happened that was off was that because deep in my heart, I didn't really believe that the Father wanted me back, the devil was able to come in with condemnation and beat me up over it, and he fed me the lie that I was past hope, and I believed that, okay? And what a tormenting and despairing place to be. I wouldn't wish anybody to go through that. And it was really hard on me for a couple of weeks. The Lord was His will in it, but again, I was letting other things come in too, and that wasn't good. And I've learned since then not to let that happen. But nevertheless, it happened then. And fortunately, there is more to the chapter than just the prodigal son leaving. He did come back, and not only did he come back to his father, but we see the reaction of the father and how he relates towards the prodigal son. He obviously had a different view of the matter than the prodigal son. Okay, the prodigal son was convicted in his heart. I'm sure he was ashamed. He never ever hoped to be recognized as a son again, did he? He never ever thought the father would think of him as his own son. He thought it would be just a high enough blessing for me if I could simply just be in the house and serve. If I could only just be a servant, I would be content. He was perfectly convinced that the relationship of father and son would never ever be for him because of how wrong he had been and how off he had been. But what is the father's response to the prodigal son? It's so beautiful. I know we've read these verses so many times, but let's let the Holy Spirit make them fresh to us again, okay? It says, speaking of the prodigal son, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Okay. Different view. Okay. The father had never a broken relationship with his son. He never thought of his son as no longer his son. He thought of his son as dead. He thought of his son as lost. But he was always the father, waiting for his son to come back. Okay. So we see his heart so clearly in these verses. He did not have a lesser road planned for his son just because his son didn't get it right away, okay? He was still wanting the father-son relationship with his son, okay? And I'm here to tell you that I don't care how wrong you think you are or how faint-hearted you are or how off you are at the moment or how many things you've done wrong in your past and that you're living with the consequences of those mistakes and bad decisions today, the father wants to relate to you as though you were his son. Okay, you are his son by Christ. And I'm not saying he wants us to be little Jesuses, okay? But you have been born again. And to have been born again, there must have been a father. Okay, God is your father. And he doesn't have another way of relating to you. He doesn't want to relate to you as though you were a servant, though sons do serve in their father's house. But you aren't to serve by being an employee of the Lord. We are to serve by being sons. Okay, so the son's attitude had totally changed, and the father was in relationship with his son as a son, whether the son understood it or not. Okay, he didn't have a lesser road or plan for messed up sons and a higher road for good sons. Okay, it's all the same path. We're all on the same road of knowing Christ by revelation and relating to our Heavenly Father in this way. And we must understand the heart of the Father, because if we don't think He cares this way, then when we get down and out, we're not going to want to come back to Him, or we're going to just do the best we can on our own. But the only way that we can be truly changed, especially after the Holy Spirit graciously showing us such a painful contrast as He showed the younger son in this passage, we must be willing to get up and go back to the Father's house. Okay? We must be willing to come and humble ourselves, ask His forgiveness, and then see His reaction towards us. Okay? Because here we have the beautiful picture of even when the prodigal was a long way off, he wasn't even all the way home. I mean, if you want to interpret that, you know, metaphysically or whatever, he wasn't back to where he needed to be yet. He wasn't in the Father's house yet. He was on the way, but he wasn't there yet. But that was good enough for the Father, wasn't it? It was good enough for the Heavenly Father. He desired his son so much that he ran out to meet him. He left his own house to meet his son, okay? He's not waiting for you to get it all fixed and all figured out, and then he'll relate to you. What he wants from you and me is a heart change, okay? He wants a heart change. And when he sees that we're on a heart condition, we are moving in a heart condition that leads us back to the Father, as opposed to that heart condition that leads us away from him and leads us into a strange country, he can take it from there, because he's seeing that the heart is what is determined whether we're dead or alive and whether we're lost or found. Okay, not even where we're living exactly. Now, the goal is to dwell in the Father's house, always. But the heart condition that takes us away is what is death. Excuse me, I'm coughing because I have allergies. I'm not really that sick, so just so you know. But when he saw his son on the road to the Father's house, he was going to bring him in the rest of the way. He was going to walk the rest of the way with him. Isn't that beautiful? I'm so grateful that our Father is that way, that he didn't sit around and correct his son and chastise his son, because the work had been finished by the Holy Spirit. The Father didn't have to do that. Okay? The Holy Spirit had done all the chastising that needed to happen. How did that happen? Did it happen because the Holy Spirit told the prodigal son what a bad son he was? No, he didn't. What he did was show him the contrast between who he was by birth and who he thought himself to be and was displaying himself to be by his actions. And that contrast motivated him to get back to the Father. And I'm here to tell you that who you are by birth, spiritual birth, is who you are. I don't care what kind of actions you're displaying. Your actions that are contrary to the Lord, the state in which you live that is contrary to the Lord, is a symptom of not having seen who your relationship is to God. Okay? Now, that is not a condemning thing, because the contrast will motivate you. Okay, if you're not motivated, that's fine. The Holy Spirit dealing in your heart will motivate you to know the Father and to go live with Him in a dependent relationship. Now, look how the Father made a huge fuss over His returned prodigal son. He bestowed upon this prodigal son, undeserving though he was, the highest of honors that he could. Okay? He clothed him. He put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Okay? These are not actions of a father who condemns his son. These are the actions of a father who receives his son. Okay? And I'm here to tell you that this is the heart of your Heavenly Father towards you and towards me. And when you realize, and we realize how far away we have lived from him, and we are ashamed of our own wretchedness, even in that, and realize that we don't deserve to be sons, okay? But we begin to realize we aren't in this relationship because we've done something right. We're in this relationship because that was what was in his heart when he birthed us into his family, okay? This is what he wanted. This is the relationship that he wanted. He's the Father. He begot us, okay, of his word. Let's see. The robe, the ring, and the shoes speak of position based on relationship, okay? Especially the ring. The ring is a sign of authority, okay? The ring is a sign of status. It's a sign of position. The son did not come back hoping for position and status. The son came back just hoping to have a decent roof over his head, realizing that he had been wrong, going back to where he belonged, and simply serving in the lowest seat because he knew that he shouldn't even be there. But the father saw the heart of one returning to him himself and gave him the status of one of a son. Okay? The son coming to himself and recognizing who he was caused himself, caused the reaction or caused the decision in him to act in this way, that he would tell his father that he wasn't worthy to be called a son. Because he realized he was a son, but he had lived so contrary to that, he felt like the position of son, being a son, should be removed from him forever. Okay, he should be excommunicated from the family. So he asked his father to make him a servant because he realized who he was. And he felt like his privileges should be revoked because he had abused his privilege of being a son, this relationship. He had realized he had missed what it was all about and no longer deserved to be a son. But the father, contrary to the view of the son, felt that this view was what made him be a son. Now, he was a son before he left, and he was a son while he was gone. But now, coming back, he was now operating in the spirit of the family. Now he recognized who he was. And that's all the father had wanted all along. Okay, that's what he wanted. The father wasn't thinking in terms of right and wrong. He did not correct all the things that the son had done wrong. He thought in terms of life and death. Okay? He knew that his son was now alive to the father. Okay? And just a little word on the side as we close out, our son. The elder son does not understand the heart of the father either. Even though he never left home, maybe it would have been better if he had. Because the prodigal son figured it out, and the elder son didn't in this parable. Okay? The elder son thinks he's right, and he compares his outward actions with those of the father and the prodigal son, and he comes out the one in the wrong. Okay? We don't have to embrace the mindset of the prodigal son. Some of us tend to be prodigal sons, and everybody's wrong, and we're right, and we're sour and upset all the time because people are getting grace who don't deserve it. Well, I'm here to tell you that none of us deserve anything that the father gives us. Okay? And we don't have to embrace the mindset of being an elder son. All sons are sons of the Father, and all that the Father has is ours. So we don't want to just live in a state of not knowing who our Father is. Okay, the prodigal didn't know who the Father was before he left. The elder son still didn't know who the Father was, even though he stayed there. And we don't want to be either of those relationships. We want to be one. Ultimately, we want to be the one who realizes who our Father is. So I share this to share that, you know, part of learning the Lord by revelation is that we're going to see things about ourselves that aren't very nice. Because when Jesus begins to shine brightly, everything that's not Jesus shows up pretty strong. And it can be very devastating to see what's in our hearts. But the answer is always to go back to the Father. Okay, I don't care how bad you look. Excuse me. I don't care how bad you look. Or how bad you think you look. You need to have a heart towards the Father. And even if you don't know who your Father is, have a heart towards Him anyway. Whoever that may be. Because coming into relationship with Him will stabilize you. It will secure you. It will keep you close to Him and dependent upon Him. And when we are in that relationship, He can bring us into the maturity of a relationship by Christ, which is a father-son relationship. So messing up isn't the end of the road, okay, not with the Father, because for Him, life comes out of death, okay? And there's always hope as long as the seed is in you. All right, well, we're going to close out here, and I hope this has been a help to you. And we will continue in our next session. Thank you very much.